Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Palshia, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Inox Green Services Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Bharat Jain from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Inox Green Energy Services Limited. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I'd like to thank the management for giving us this opportunity to host this earnings call. Today we have with us Mr. Devansh Jain, Executive Director, Inox GFL Group, Mr. Kailash Tarachandani, Chief Executive Officer, Inox Wind Limited, Mr. S.K. Mathusudhana, Chief Executive Officer, Inox Green Energy Services Limited, and other senior management members. I will now hand over the call to the management to give their opening remarks, and after that we'll have a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, and good morning, everyone. Very warm welcome to all to the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Inox Green Energy Services Limited. The company announced the Q1 results at the board meeting held on Saturday, 29 July. The results along with the earnings presentation are available on the stock exchanges as well as on our website. Let me quickly take you through the financials. We are pleased to announce that Inox Green has turned PAT positive in the quarter. During Q1 FY24, IGCL has reported a consolidated revenue of Rs. 65.63 crore versus 63.16 crore in Q1 FY23. Consol EBITDA in Q1 FY24 was Rs. 30.36 crore versus Rs. 18.93 crore in Q1 FY23, while Consol PAT in Q1 FY24 was Rs. 2.96 crore versus a loss of Rs. 11.58 crore in Q1 FY23. I will briefly provide an update on our business operations and outlook before we open up the floor for Q&A. Inox Green is a stable, asset-light, long-term annuity cash generation business. Inox Green primarily operates in the business of providing long-term O&M services for wind farm projects. The company has long-term service contracts with its customers, including comprehensive contracts and common infrastructure contracts, with built-in annual escalations, resulting in very sticky revenues and stable margins. IEGCL is committed to doubling its O&M portfolio to 6 gigawatt in near future through both organic and inorganic means from a 3.1 gigawatt capacity at the end of Q1 FY24. We believe that the strong sectorial tailwinds will lead to a substantial increase in wind capacity additions in India starting from FY24, aided by the central government auctions of at least 10 gigawatts of wind capacity annually. State auctions, retail demand, C&I segment demand for their green commitments, as well as demand rising from green hydrogen ecosystem in the medium to the long term. This will result in overall 100 gigawatt of wind capacity additions in the next 8 to 10 years, leading to a massive growth from a 43 gigawatt of installed capacity. Our parent company, Inox Wind, has targeted to execute at least 500 megawatt of orders per annum from FY24 onwards, which will be added to our portfolio as we enjoy a synergetic relationship. Organically, we expect to comfortably add over 1500 megawatt during FY24-26. On the inorganic front, the opportunities are quite immense, with 10 gigawatt of unorganized and fragmented small O&M players owning in the fleet win fleet of distressed OEMs. While we have stated our intention to acquire 1500 megawatt over FY24-26, we have already acquired a controlling stake of 51% in IFOX Wind Technic, which added 250 plus megawatt to our fleet at the time of acquisition in Q4 FY23. IFOX is performing much better than our expectations, benefiting from the synergies post-acquisition. Both Inox Green and IFOX are strongly placed to acquire a large number of 10 gigawatt opportunity available in the market. And we are in discussion with several third-party wind-based O&M service providers to acquire their portfolio. During the quarter, we continued our efforts towards improving the operational and technical performance of our turbines in our portfolio. We continue to strengthen our relationship with our existing clients and are working on building new relationships. We believe that our journey towards being the leader in asset management and operational excellence will create significant value for all our stakeholders. Our cost saving and efficiency improvement measures are showing positive results, reducing overheads and increasing productivity. We are continuing towards our digital journey with the implementation of SAP and other digital analytical tools and adopting best practices in supply chain management and maintenance. Coming to Nani Virani, a 50 megawatt SPV has been commissioned and operational. We expect to conclude the sale of the asset, post which Inox Green will become net debt free. Notably, this asset is generating cash as its EBITDA is higher than interest expense. Our ESG commitments remain strong and we continue our efforts to improve our ESG compliance. We have received independent assurance from E&Y for our FY23 sustainability report. I believe that we will be a major catalyst in the goal towards emission reduction in the value chain where we operate. Being a part of a $5 billion Inox GFL group, which has 90 plus years of footprint in fueling India's growth, as well as the parentage of Inox Wind, provides IEGCL with strong fundamentals and growth visibility. As we continue on our massive growth journey, we look forward to creating sustained value for all our stakeholders. So we will now open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Jatin Chawla from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions first. So when I look at your, the portfolio that you're managing, that stayed constant on a quarter-on-quarter basis, but still there is almost a 14% kind of increase in revenues on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So just wanted to understand what is driving the same. Is this the price escalations? Because it seems slightly higher on the higher side to be just price escalation. So, what else is kind of driving this?
This is over revenue has been primarily increased due to the Nani Virani operating revenue. The revenue which has been generated from the Nani Virani. As far as the, what is your second question?
Is it any price escalation?
So as far as the price escalation is concerned, our typical O&M contract includes 5% escalation on year-on-year basis, which definitely will come into play on a year-on-year basis.
No, actually, when I look at your revenue from O&M, because and thanks for giving this out, you are separating it out properly. 56.6 crores is the revenue from O&M, right, this quarter. And last quarter, that was close to 50 crores, 49.74, if I'm correct. So there is still a 14% increase from March quarter to June quarter. So my question was, what is driving that increase when the overall portfolio is same?
Question of ISOX. So ISOX, which we have acquired in the last quarter, we have a very minimal, revenue.
Because, with the period when we took over ISOX, the revenue recognition under that, till the deal was not done, the full revenue could not be recognized in that period. So while you saw the megawattage, but the revenue only came in for about 15 to 20 days as opposed to the whole quarter. Otherwise, yes, you are right, 49 to 56 quarter on quarter, that would happen primarily because of ISOX.
Understood. And is that the reason also that your margins are a tad softer versus, early last year? So last year, I think on a full year, margins are almost
close to 50. Look, I think we guided for broadly 50% margin. So, whether it's 46 or 48 or 54, 2, 3, 4 crores is impossible to detail out. Naturally, what happens in Q1 is it's just before the wind season. So the whole team is spending more in ensuring the turbines are completely, scheduled maintenance, etc., are taken care of. So otherwise, on a standard basis, plus minus 4-5% will keep happening. But you'll, on a yearly basis, you'll typically be at a 50% EBIT margin. But yes, IFOX is a small chunk. If you had a very big chunk of inorganic acquisitions, to that extent, margins are lower compared to our organic operations.
Understood. And Nani Virani, sorry, in the opening remarks, I didn't catch the timeline that you said in terms of trying to complete the transaction.
Yes, I think what Madhu mentioned was in the near future, we expect to flip that. In any case, it's a positive EBITDA generating asset, which generates far more money than the interest cost. And given that we commissioned it in terms of the full capacity only sometime in mid-May, I think, frankly, it's only adding to our profitability. But as we've committed, we will be flipping it in the near future. And I think in the meantime, we'll add to our profitability.
Right. Understood. One more question. So, going through your prospectus and from the interactions that I've had with you guys, you mentioned that on the O&M side, the profitability or the margins are better on, or at least the contracts are structured in a way that the margins are better on the common infrastructure, right, versus just the turbine. So, and hence, when we have seen some assets kind of, move from comprehensive to only common infra maintenance, you have by and large been still able to maintain your EBITDA. Now, the question is that going forward, the structure that we have within the group, RESCO is going to do the common infra, right? So in that scenario, how do you see, for INOX Green contract being structured and, where the common infra maintenance kind of gets captured?
Let's not get confused. Fundamentally, I think what's going to happen is we still have almost 600-800 megawatts of common infrastructure built lying within Green, which we will keep utilizing, number one. Having said that, going forward, there will be no capex. This is an asset-light model. There is no investments. There is no capex in this business. Give or take 1 crore in tool or tackles, right? Whatever capex happens in terms of new common infrastructure which we build under ESCO, that's simply doing the capex, and that will become the trustee of that asset. But INOX Green will be the O&M service provider. So INOX Green will continue enjoying the service revenues and the build-up which it keeps doing. RESCO is only going to remain the trustee. There is no profitability at the RESCO level for in terms of O&M pertaining to that.
Right. And a related question, going forward, it seems we have a lot of larger players, like NTPC or, another order that you've announced this quarter. And these larger players might be doing their common evacuation infrastructure by themselves. So in that case, does that hurt the profitability of the O&M business, given that that is where, it seems you are capturing higher margins?
No, look, I think let me first and foremost try and answer this in multiple ways. Number one, there are three segments of the market. There's the retail market, there's the public sector enterprise market, and there's the IPP market. The retail market requires us to do turnkey. Majority of the public center tenders require us to do turnkey. When we do turnkey, the common infrastructure is under our control, so we will be leveraging that entire piece in our O&M profitability. to the extent of IPPs. Some IPPs are building their common infrastructure. Some of them are wanting us to support them. To the extent of plain vanilla equipment suppliers, where they build their common infrastructure, yes, they'll do their common infrastructure. But in that case, if we are providing the O&M services, our O&M service charges will be such that we make the same per megawatt profitability which we do, which we did in a comprehensive or a non-comprehensive contract. What's happened is over this 5 years of pain period when certain people went away from various people, we let them go, but when our time to reset the common infrastructure charges came up, we've increased the common infrastructure charges so that we make the same profit which we make in comprehensive vis-a-vis non-comprehensive. And that's happened in certain contracts at Inox Green. In certain contracts, it's yet to happen as the renewal comes up. So to that extent, our profitability will still keep going up. With this, I suppose I answer your question?
Yeah, I got that broadly. Just a follow-up to that is, with what frequency do your renewals come up? So let's say you I think you mentioned that 2 years is free, right? And thereafter the revenue start, the cash flow starts, I think revenues you amortize over the full 10-year period. But when does the power plant producer have the option of, let's say saying, you know, I will not go with Inox Green, I will go with some other O&M supplier?
You know, let me try and, you know, first and foremost, let everyone understand. I think PSU tenders, Kailash, has what, 25-year contracts typically?
Yeah.
O&M? Mm-hmm. So PSUs typically, at the time of the tender, give you a 25-year O&M agreement. Retail is typically, we sign 10 years because we use that to reset the pricing. I mean, 10 years is a long period. You know, you need an overall or something like that, then that's factored in one time at the end of 10 years. IPPs also are typically 10 years. Ideally, no one wants to leave an OEM as long as the OEM is financially strong and robust. Because OEMs have access to the entire supply chain. OEMs have access to all the technology updates which keep coming up in turbines. What happened over the past 5 years was an aberration in the sector where virtually every OEM in India was on the verge of bankruptcy. As I mentioned many times in the past, 30 odd players went bust. Of the 5 key players in India, 2 went bust. One survived with a massive haircut. We survived with promoter infusion. So in that period, many of the IPPs had bust, everyone is going to die. Jo kar sakte khud bhi lo. So obviously, it's in our interest that we let everyone survive. Yeah? We're not vindictive people saying, boss, main marunga, to aap bhi maro. Having said that, we're already seeing green shoots where various people are gradually coming back to us now that the whole wind business is very, very robust. Yes, Inox Green independently is very, very strong. Matsu and the team are continuously working on inorganic growth acquisitions, and people are coming to us because they say we are the strongest player. Who can service this? I think some of our contracts, as they come up for renewal, which were non-comprehensive, I think some of them are going to shift back to us in terms of comprehensive. So that's how we see things moving forward.
Got it. Thanks. This is very useful, and thanks for patiently answering my questions.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
So the first question would be, from Nani Virani, in this current quarter, we made around 7.3 crores of EBITDA, and the interest outgo related to this was 7.9 CR. So would this EBITDA be less than interest cost because it was a seasonally weak quarter for us, and going forward, we expect the EBITDA to exceed the interest cost? Would that be the right way to understand this?
The EBITDA would be far more than the interest cost. We commissioned this asset sometime in May, while it was partly in March, but we were trying to get a better PPA, and we succeeded in doing that, and hence it actually went into operation later. So it's not even reflective of the full quarter's revenue, which would have been far more had we got the whole quarter. But on a year-to-year basis, the revenues would be far more, the EBITDA would be far more than the interest cost. So it should actually be... So it will actually be adding to our profitability as we move forward.
Can you tell the exact commercial operation date for this project, for this Nani Virani project? So that like, yeah, we exact can get a better date.
From March to May, which has given some of the assets we put into open access as well. There were certain different timelines in terms of regulatory approval. But broadly, we put it into operation sometime in May.
So just to add, Mr. Chaudhary, the word actually it's not commissioning, we should say stabilization. Some of the actions of stabilization is also happening. So this is a new fleet which is recently commissioned. So that the stabilization operation, once it is done, so that the generation will be much better and we will make more profits from this asset.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. In your opening remarks, you mentioned organically, you are expecting to add a certain amount of megawatts from 24 to 26. Was it 1,500 megawatts?
Can you be louder and clearer? Excuse me, sorry. Could you please be louder and clearer?
Is this better?
I think so, yeah.
Hello, yeah. So, in your opening remarks, you mentioned you are expecting to add a certain amount of megawatts between FY 24 and 26. Was it 1,500?
Yes. So it is actually we are expecting 1,500 megawatt during period of FY 24 to 26 organic.
Okay. Okay. Right. Got it. Okay. And secondly, are you able to share any outlook for FY 24 in terms of revenue and margins? So what are you expecting?
No, I think we've guided for about 50% EBIT margins. I think it's steady state 50% EBIT margins. And I think we are well on track to do that. I think if you look at the fleet, it was about 2.8 gigawatts as of March without IFOX. And I think as we put out in the public domain, we intend to add 1,000 megawatts every year, mix of organic and inorganic. So broadly, that will take you to about 3.8 gigs. You can do the math. It's fairly easy.
3.8 gigs?
That's right.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
In the public domain, that we intend to add 1,000 megawatts annually. So we were at 2.8 and we added IFOX, which came from this year. So if you add 2.8 plus a gigawatt, it's broadly 3.8 gigawatt.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Rajasree from DTCL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just want to understand, like you said, 3.8 gigawatt is what you would be at, say, 31st March 24, right?
That's right.
And
we expect to be there.
Pardon?
We expect to be at that number by end of FY 24.
And this would be entirely organic or the more...
A mix of organic and inorganic. Our presentation very clearly says we're looking at adding 1,000 megawatts a year for the next three financial years, which will be a mix of organic and inorganic numbers.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sachin Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, just I have one question on your capital allocation strategy. So going forward, would you be focused only on O&M or you're also going to allocate capital to generating assets?
No, I think we are very, very clear. I think the presentation talks very clearly. We've always reiterated it's a free cash flow business, a solid annuity business. We had no generating assets. We're on the contrary, we are liquidating the last asset. We already sold four such assets to Adani and Torin. This is the last asset, which we expect to flip very soon. Otherwise, we don't intend to add anything on the capital side.
So that is from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Utkarsh Somaya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to refer to your note 4 of the result, which says that the company decided to bear a loss on the uncovered ICD. An investment in its associate amounting to 30.6 crores and reimbursed bank guarantee invoked by SECI amounting to 68 crores. Can you please throw some light on this? Are we expecting any further losses? And if
well, this was not borne by Inox Green. This was borne by the parent company Inox Green, which was provided for in FY 23. There is no bearing on INOX Green whatsoever. And that was provided in the previous quarters, not in this quarter.
Okay, and so do we expect any further losses?
Not at all. Frankly speaking, there were no losses for INOX Green. Even if there is hypothetically, say, 1 crore loss, and there's an agreement between INOX Wind and INOX Green when the transfer took place, what is INOX Wind's responsibility will be borne by INOX Wind. There is no impact to INOX Green shareholders or the company itself.
Okay, so regardless of who would say, okay, I get that. Okay, okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Next question comes from Hardik Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
We cannot hear you, sorry. Can you?
Yes, I'll repeat the question again, sir. I repeat, next question comes from Ardik Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead. There is no response. And the next question comes from Akhilesh B, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, I just want to thank you for, you know, listing this asset. I think it's a great idea to have a pure O&M annuity kind of business listed, which is pretty simple to understand also. So compliments on that. My only question is, you mentioned around 1500 megawatt of organic addition over FY24 to 26, which might happen. So given that the first couple of years are usually a, you know, free period, is it fair to say that that addition may not generate revenue for the first couple of years?
Thank you for your comments. Yeah, we're excited that we've been able to list it as well and create value, and I hope intend to create far more value for all our stakeholders. So just to, I'm sorry, I could not hear whether you spoke of organic or inorganic. If it's inorganic, in any case, it's revenue generating from day one. In the case of organic, due to Indus, there is straight lining of the revenue. So let's say it's an 8-year contract, let's say it's a 10-year contract, and the first 2 years are free O&M. You recognize revenue over the entire 10-year period, not 8 years. The cash flows will be over 8 years. I mean, if you need to understand that better, we can, you know, you can get in touch with IR or our finance team, and they'll explain that to you offline.
Okay, noted. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Swachita Jain from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for giving this opportunity. So just two clarifications. In your opening comments, you said INOX Wind is going to add certain megawatts per annum, right? So this will directly come to us. I kind of missed that number.
That's 1,500 megawatts over 3 years. FY24 to 26, what we stated during the IPO, I think conservatively we believe that's the bare minimum which will kick in from INOX Wind. But keeping in mind INOX Wind's own ambitions as well as the market itself, I think that opportunity could be far larger.
Okay. Sorry. You said INOX Wind is going to add 1,500, is it, per annum?
Whatever they add, all those O&M contracts come into INOX Green. So what we mentioned was we'll add 1,500 megawatts organically from INOX Wind.
Okay, okay, okay. And, sir, in the previous participant question, you said if there is an organic O&M, then if it is for 10-year period, the cash flow is for 8 years, but revenue booking happens for 10 years, right? I mean, you kind of spread it out, right? Even you have
an example, they're under Indus, assuming it's a 10-year contract, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the first 2 years are free. So you get paid from year three onwards, the cash flows from year three onwards. But under Indus, you recognize revenue on a 10-year basis. So you, whatever cash flows come in over 8 years, you divide that over a 10-year period and you start recognize that on a straight line basis.
Our services start from day one. So,
cool. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Jatin Chawla from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. In the prospectus for INOX Green, you had mentioned that it has common infrastructure assets worth for 4,000 megawatts, out of which 3,000 megawatts has been monetized, and the remaining 1,000 megawatts will be sold over a period of time, and that this can yield 20-25 lakhs per megawatt. So is the understanding right that there is around 200 crores that can come into Inox Green once these assets are monetized?
Yes, the understanding is correct. This 200 crore rupees will come eventually over a period of time, whenever we demonetize 1,000 megawatts.
Okay. Thanks. I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. Next question comes from Ardiksha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Put. Hello.
Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
So there is no response, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad.
You know, I think Hardik Shah wants to ask a question. It's coming in and out.
Yes, just a moment. So I'll just check his line. Question comes from Ardik Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. First of all, I would like to congratulate the management for such turnaround performance in Inox Wind as well as Inox Green. Yeah. So
Thank you so much, Ardik.
Welcome. Yeah. So my first question actually pertains to the pace of acquisition. So we have been hearing since the IPO meetings that we are in talks with 6 to 8 potential acquisitions, out of which till now we have acquired only one entity, IFOX. So my question pertains to what has been the progress with other potential acquisitions. We have been mentioning in our investor presentation that there's a fleet of 10 gigawatt being managed by inactive players. So do we have potential to acquire 30-40% of this pie of 10 gigawatt? So basically my question doesn't pertain to ability of Inox Green to acquire these players, but just about the pace of acquisition. How quickly can we acquire?
Look, Ardik bhai, thank you for your comments. I think, yes, we are in talks with multiple players, but I think what's also important, and Matsu mentioned it in his opening comments, we are also focused on growing IFOX. It's growing steadily, far better than what we thought. I think in the near future, we should be making more announcements around that. Having said that, we have very stringent norms in terms of the price we are willing to pay and the terms at which we are willing to buy. As you may have noticed, Inox Wind is just turned around or on the cusp of a massive breakout. Inox Wind has turned quite positive in this quarter. We have various strategies which we can deploy to pick more and more capacities. These are unorganized players. We have the financial might and the muscle to go out and pick up more volumes. But, you know, sometimes deals take longer or the terms and conditions which are very stringent for us internally take some time. You may just have a very large deal which may come along the way, and the three-year goal which you set for us, say 1,500 megawatts, we are broadly at, say, 300 megawatts today. If Matsu and the team pick up a gigawatt asset in the next 8 to 9 months, then frankly they would have achieved the entire goal we set out for ourselves inorganically over the next 3 years. I think organically we have a target of 1,500 megawatts which we set out for ourselves over the next 3 years. But looking to what we understand Inox Wind is doing and the market potential, I think that's going to be far larger. And, you know, as we keep moving forward, various opportunities come up. You know, what we must also realize is Inox Wind is the first pure play O&M company listed globally. So a lot of people are now coming to terms with the fact that an asset exists, which has created value, which is monetizable, and people can combine and make this platform much larger. So sometimes, you know, pehli deal mein time lag jata hai, uske baad khat hota hai. So we are somewhere around there. Of course, we've picked up IFOX, but there are various other strategic things we're doing at this point in time, which possibly will bear fruit as we move forward.
Okay. My second question pertains to downselling of Nani Virani. In this current quarter earnings investor presentation, we seem to have dropped this line from the investor presentation where we used to mention that we expect to realize 300 crore from the sale of the project. I just wanted to confirm that. I just hope that it still holds right, even though not mentioned in the presentation.
It's in the public domain that we'll be selling Nani Virani. We just didn't want to keep repeating the same thing, but yes, it is broad. Ballpark will be 300 crores on selling Nani Virani.
Okay. Okay. And in last quarter, Concall, we had mentioned that we had some around 40-45 crore receivable from Resco, which we were to have which we were to receive in Q1. So just if you can give an update whether if it's received.
Yeah, so the receivable has been received from Resco, and that is, you know, the money is lying in Inox Green.
Okay, so net debt of Inox Green would be now close to 300 crore?
Sorry, can you repeat?
Sorry.
So after receiving money from Resco and 200 crore warrants which have been issued, is the net debt in Inox Green close to 200 crore now? Sorry, 300
crore. No, so the net debt is about 300 earlier. After receiving the 40, we'll get approximately 260 crores.
Okay. Sorry, one last question.
Foreign for a cashless transaction. We've just converted long-term money to ensure there's further promoter backing, and we don't need to take it back from Inox Green, because we don't want to take money back from Green. We would rather make it an annuity ESG dividend deal play as we move forward.
Agreed, that's the right strategy. Just one last question. In the notes to the result, we have mentioned that there's certain O&M revenue of 123 crore, which are to be billed, for which service has already been rendered. Can you explain in simple terms what does this pertain to?
It's due to straightlining of O&M revenue over a period of life of the asset. So the, you know, this note revolve around the straightlining of the revenue only.
Okay, fine. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sumit Chandwani from Art Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. This question is related to the straight line of revenue. So two questions pertaining to this. One is, do you expect your EBIT margins to go down? Because, you know, effectively you are earning revenue for 8 years, but you're carrying costs for 10 years. And the other, due to your receivable position, because you'll have...
Sorry, can you please be louder? We can't hear what you're saying.
No, I'm saying this is pertaining to the straight lining of revenues. So do you...
No, we didn't get your question. Can you just repeat what you said a little louder, please?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. That's better.
This is pertaining to the straight lining of revenues. So my question is, do you expect your EBIT margins to go down in future, because you'll be carrying costs for 10 years, but you are earning revenue for 8 years, because the first 2 years are free.
Margins will not go down, because the costs are already reflected on a year-to-year basis. Because even if you're giving free O&M, the costs for that are already reflected in the P&L. And our 12-year track record typically has been 50% plus EBIT margins, and we expect to be at that.
Right. And then what happens to the receivables? Again, you know, you'll be having receivables for first 2 years.
No, there are no receivables for 2 years. That's just straight lining. That's why you see this 123 crores, which is the straight lining revenue. Actual receivables, once billing starts in terms of not in that straight lining, typically payments come within 30 days of the invoices being raised. This is not a working capital intensive business. It's a very, very simple, straightforward service business.
Got it. Because you'll be booking revenues in the first 2 years.
That's the reason you see the 123 crores of straight lining revenues. Okay. The notes to accounts, which was questioned in the previous question, that's what you see on the receivable side, which is other assets. Because that's something which you have to book under Ind AS on a straight lining basis. Otherwise, when we start the actual billing in terms of the pay period, receivables are typically 30 days.
Got it. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sunil Shah from SRE PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is very simple, and, you know, some kind of a back of an envelope kind of a calculation. Sir, March 23, we were at 2800 megawatts kind of a thing. and we are talking about 1000 megawatts of incremental for the next 3 years. So if I look myself 3 years down the line, we will be actually doubling the O&M work on hand, roughly. And on the current O&M that we have done, that's like 2800 megawatts, we have done an EBITDA of about 97 crores. So roughly about 100 crores. Now if we are doubling our work on hand in the next 3 years, and if we get operating leverage kicked in, is it safe to assume that 3 years down the line, our EBITDA could be in the vicinity of like 250, 275 crores or thereabouts?
That's right. You're bang on. And also what's going to happen is, in terms of the existing fleet, they have built an escalation clause of 5%. So that's going to add to the profitability as we move forward.
Okay, great. So 275, 300 crores is back
on. I'm not guiding for numbers. I'm just giving you
Absolutely. Just the directional call. Yeah.
270, I'm not getting to exact numbers.
Fair enough, sir. And second point, you know, the Nani Virani asset that we have, if we are encashing that, as you stated, we'll be completely off debt in our books. Is that correct?
That's right. In any case, Nani Virani is a positive EBITDA generating asset. So frankly speaking, we're only adding to our profitability. There is no, I mean, we will be flipping it, but there is absolutely no negative impact. There's in fact a positive impact for Inox Green, because we are making more money than the interest we pay on that asset.
Great. Great, sir. Thanks so much. We all just hope that the pains of the last 5 years just don't come anywhere close in the next 3 years. Thank you very much, sir.
Pains were to the OEM business. The operations and maintenance business has never faced this pain, or will not face this pain, simply because this is an annuity business. The contracts which we already have, say they're married to us for 10, 20, 25 years. So irrespective of whether we sell 1 megawatt or 1,000 megawatt every year at the Inox Wind level, the Inox Green business is a steady state annuity business which will only keep growing in terms of profitability.
Sure. So my just thought is that if Inox Wind as a parent faces any hiccups on the foreseeable future, it will percolate down to us in one way or the other. So I'm just hoping that we don't, both at the wind level as well as the green level, we don't come across such things. That's the only
thing. Wind itself has a very, very robust way forward, and I think given the fact that Wind has announced it in its intention to be net debt free by year end, it's frankly a negative break-even company. So in all respects, I don't think, God willing, we should be seeing anything percolating down to this company whatsoever. But thank you for your wishes.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for addressing our question. Thanks from the entire community. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Akhilesh B., individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the follow-up. In one of our prior interactions, you had mentioned that once we sell down Nani Virani, basically our EBITDA would be our profit, because we also have accumulated losses from the prior, you know, years of the pain period. So can you just quantify, you know, how much accumulated losses there might be in the company?
So broadly, we have around 600 crore rupees of unabsorbed losses as of now in income tax.
And again, by selling Nani Virani, there's no profit. Broadly, I mean, there could be a profit of 10 to 15 CR, but assuming we sell it at a thumb rule 300 CR, that's basically the equity infused and the debt pertaining to that asset. So, in all sense, there are about 600 crores of brought forward losses, which will offset operational profitability for the next couple of years.
Yeah, so almost till FY26, we may not need to.
Possibly, unless we scale up faster.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Shivangi Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead. I repeat, question comes from Shivangi Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead. So there is no response, sir. That would be the last question for the day. Now, I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
So I thank everyone for the call, and it was a very insightful, and hope you got the message. And Inox Green is coming up very, very strongly, and we are getting into a multi-brand business. So this asset light cash, free cash flow business will grow much faster. And thanks for everybody's time. And questions were very elaborate, and it gave a very message to the every investors. And we feel that we grow this business much beyond our expectation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Door Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.